I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. My guest today is Eric Linares. Eric is an entrepreneur who runs Eastside Market, an outdoor local vendor market whose last event of the year is this upcoming Sunday. Eric talks about the mercados of Tampico, Mexico, how he's translated that concept to Waco, and what he hopes to see from Waco's underground art scene in 2021. But first, it's the word on the street. The word on the street for December is proposal. And no, we're not talking about weddings. We are talking city development. Michael Carpenter, project coordinator at City Center Waco, is here to talk to us about a request for proposal on Elm Avenue. Michael, what's the skinny?
What's up, man? So we, I think probably the beginning of December, around November, late November, issued a request for proposal for a project that or a building that we own on Elm Avenue. I'm really looking to create a space to highlight diverse entrepreneurship in East Waco, and really just wanted to give an opportunity to community members and people in the downtown area who may be interested in investing in this project, and creating a space that really highlights a diverse entrepreneurship, a food hub, or some kind of venue like that. So
a request for proposal would be when a city or a city group, mm-hmm. in this case, says, hey, we have this building or we have this property,
right.
and we want people from the community, mm-hmm. to propose what they would do with that. Is that
exactly
how it works?
Yeah, it's essentially, someone saying, hey, this is what I propose to do with this project. So we, depending on how many we get, we have a scoring criteria, we judge those. We have a steering committee that'll give a recommendation on which one they feel like we should go with. And then at the end of the day, our board of directors will vote, and then we'll pick the proposal that best fits our vision for the project.
So whether they are already submitted proposals or ideas that you've heard bandied about, mm-hmm. what are some of the potential exciting uses for this mm-hmm. building on Elm Avenue?
So we think it could be a great use. We think it could be a great food hub, entertainment type space, something similar to Union Hall, where you have different micro spaces that people are renting in the space. And then also it'll be adjacent to the new Bridge Street project. And so we're thinking it could be an extension of that, where there could be some sort of entertainment space where you could have, coffee shops, restaurants, and then also maybe in the corner have kind of a place where you could have some live music, kind of a spillover from the plaza. And so that's kind of what we're envisioning right now. But really, we really want to give this opportunity to the community and see what kind of creative ideas can come out of the community. And so we really want to let the people kind of give us an idea of what they envision this space being. And so there is a space for that, to create that type of creativity and just homegrown vision for the project.
So what has the response of the community been thus far?
Yeah, I think it's been good. The first deadline we had was December 6th. We didn't get as many proposals as we thought, and so we extended it just to give people more time. It's been a crazy year, and so we just recognized that we just wanted to do a better job of trying to communicate things. It's really hard to get information out right now. And so we just wanted to give ourselves another chance to really get the information out there. And so the response has been good. I think people are excited about it. We've been getting questions. There's been Facebook posts and comments and emails. And so we're excited to see what happens. Obviously, we don't really know who's going to propose it. The deadline is in January, so we're not really sure how many proposals we'll get until then. But on the word on the street, it seems like people are excited about it and really looking forward to the opportunity.
And last question for you, what is the deadline and how do folks view the application? How could they propose?
Right, yeah, so the deadline now is January 2nd. They can email me at michael@citycenterwaco.com, and I will send them the RFP with some additional information, and if they have questions, we can answer those questions. So as simple as that, just give us an email, we'll shoot you over the information, and then let us know if they have questions, and
Michael Carpenter is project coordinator at City Center Waco, talking to us about a request for proposal in December. Thank you so much for coming on Downtown Depot, Michael.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm now joined in studio by Eric Linares. Eric is an entrepreneur working in Waco, Texas. Welcome to Downtown Depot.
How's it going? Thank you for having me.
What's your Waco history?
Well, I came to Waco back in 2012. I came up here from Beaumont, Texas to go to school at Baylor. And did the whole shebang there, graduated in 17, took an extra victory lap year, and came out with a business degree. But at the same time, I was kind of doing some part-time work with Sherwin-Williams, the company here. Eventually, after I graduated, I became in the management program there. But after a while, I just decided to stick around in Waco just indefinitely, it seems like, because I went to Mexico, came back, had a whole switch up, change up, want to be, you know, do my own thing, create my own, basically, story. So I saw that Waco was a great place to get that going.
Okay. I got to dig in here.
Right on.
The switch up, change up that happened when you were in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Go south of the border. Mm-hmm. Your head clears, you realize you really want to be an entrepreneur and get out of this Sherwin-Williams mm-hmm. management training program. What were the conversations you were having with yourself when you were in Mexico, and what led to this life change for you?
I mean, I think the buildup to it is the fact that, you know, my entire family has always been entrepreneurs. They've all, you know, had their own businesses, have always, you know, been in that kind of entrepreneurial spirit.
Is this in Mexico, Tampico?
In Mexico, Tampico, and here too. Like, my father owns his own, contract construction company, basically. And so we've always had that spirit of doing it yourself, not necessarily out of, like, this want to be your own boss, but just kind of, it was just kind of like the only thing you had available. It was like a survival mechanism almost, because you didn't really have the... they were all immigrants, so they didn't have the prerequisites to get, like, your average career. So you find that in a lot of times we you know, go towards entrepreneurship because it is this ability to create your own path without the need for any kind of external or documents or stuff like that. But so I always had that kind of motivation, that kind of spirit within me, and that's one of the reasons I graduated with an entrepreneurship degree from Baylor, because it was I knew that whatever I was eventually going to get into was going to be something like that. I just thought that we were going to, when you graduate, you kind of always go into a corporate setting at first, it seems like, and you kind of want to get your feelers, get some good financial stability, and then try to do your own thing. But working with Sherwin, I was there for about a year and a half. And I had gone from part-time to basically managing. And you very quickly, at least, my type of, who I am, I very quickly see that kind of structure, corporate type thing just wasn't really my cup of tea. So I, of course, was always planning the best exit, So eventually, after a while, I just decided, hey, I'm going to get my 2 weeks. I'm going to go to Mexico, because For a long time, I knew I wanted to do something, with the cultural aspect of my upbringing as a centerpiece. So we went there, traveled around. I stayed out there for like a month and a half, just kind of going all over the place, just experiencing all the cultures that I didn't get to experience normally, because there's such a variety of cultures in Mexico. So I wanted to really check all of that.
So what is the culture that you came from, Tampico?
So the Tampico culture is, it's Tamaulipas Tampico. It's a very more of a coastal kind of vibe. So it's very, all the food is, and I say cultures in terms of food too, because that's a big thing for me. So all the food is always very kind of like seafood based, and all this sauces and all this stuff. But, that is a very, very kind of like different different style from just even like a state to the north or south. So you have this just crazy variety in cultural kind of groups and food styles and environments and kind of ecosystems all throughout Mexico. Even though it's such kind of a smallish state compared to the U.S., we have just this crazy variety of basically landscapes that just create the cultures.
When you get back from Mexico and you're in Waco, you recognize you want to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. What's the first thing that you do?
So, of course, I had a little bit of a savings with the, this whole Sherwin thing. I came back and I knew that I wanted to do something. I didn't want to go into another kind of job, structured job. So I actually fell back on my kind of photography skills. I had done photography all throughout like high school. I would do quinceañeras and weddings and just kind of pictures and whatnot. I did that, and I actually started doing basically social media management for some little local companies here. So for Gather Waco and Black Oak Art, they do a lot of the pottery here for like Magnolia and all these big things.
Yeah, had them on Downtown Depot. Both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they were really awesome, and I basically just went up in there and I showed them the skills, and we got to work. And that was actually a really cool opportunity because that was kind of like my first foray into the downtown scene as it was starting to evolve, you know, post 2014, 15, 16. And it was through theirs, you know, through their social media and doing kind of these like outreach type of, you know, the little events and stuff and all the kind of like basically giveaway things with other businesses. You start meeting all these other kind of entrepreneurs and smaller people. I met a lot of basically the people I do a lot of work with nowadays. I kind of had my first introduction as being, you know, the social media management, you know, guy for these other companies. So that kind of like was a big push, you know, kind of a foot in the door into that whole downtown scene. It was through there that I started, you know, linking up more with the Pinewood guys and seeing, you know, they were doing this whole thing themselves and linking up with more with other local entrepreneurs that were starting up and they were younger or whatever stage of life they were, but they were doing something here downtown or in just in Waco in general. So that just really kind of opened the eyes like, yeah, you know, I can do that as well. And I can get that started at the same time. And that's when I started getting Quetzal, so my food concept got up and running. So I would start just small doing pop-ups, kind of just that same kind of social media, guerrilla kind of style marketing. But it was then when I got, you know, basically hooked into the Startup Waco, you know, they had the big incubate challenge and the big idea challenge. It was once I went through there and I went up the ranks through there and I came out like, you know, top three or something like that. That was when I got all these big connections with other, you know, just bigger Waco organizations like the Waco Foundation and basically all these organizations, you know, in charge of helping promote that entrepreneurial and that growth in Waco.
So these are folks who see that you've got the talent and you've got the hustle, but maybe you need some structure or you need some money and they're here to support that.
Yeah. And at then, you know, sometimes it's just the connections really because it was, you know, from that Startup Waco Challenge, we did, I had so many connections that eventually became, you know, clients for caterings and events. And through those events, you started connecting with other businesses and, you know, more businesses, more. It was just kind of the snowball effect of people and connecting. And I really love, you know, connecting with individuals and seeing how we can all just kind of work together to create things. So just having that that kind of basically Rolodex of names was just super instrumental in kind of leading the way towards everything else that I've been able to accomplish.
I've seen you from across Pinewood in many meetings regarding East Side Market. I remember early times, it was beautiful being at Pinewood because I'd look across, I see there's a dark-skinned black guy, a light-skinned black guy, a white guy, and a Mexican guy all sitting together.
For sure.
Talking about how they can put on an event that brings the entire community of Waco together. And it's important that you have people from each of those different cultures at the table. How did the idea for East Side Market get going? And what is the vision for East Side Market?
Well, it's really cool to, like you said, to see it because I think it was kind of a synthesis of a lot of different ideas and whatnot. But one of the main things that I would always go to Houston with my little brother because he was big into that vintage scene at the time too. This was like 2 years ago. So we would always go to Houston. We'd go to the hip-hop flea market festival. We'd go to Austin, and there's all these kind of like markets and stuff. And then me, growing up in Mexico, my entire family always worked at, you know, kind of this street market type style. So I always had the love and the affinity for these kind of impromptu social spaces that would just come out of nowhere and just create their own community, essentially. And basically, you know, I wanted to create that and whatever it seemed like it. And it was just kind of this moment where we were like, you know, why isn't there something here? And what's really stopping it? Because we already know all these people. We know all the people that could make it happen. I had already done like events with Brotherwell with my Quetzal company. And so we already had this connection where we were just like, hey, you know, y'all can do whatever y'all want here, basically. And it was just a matter of just sitting down and finally saying, yeah, we're going to do this and we're going to let's try it. And within like a month and a half, we had the first market, essentially, from that first time we sat down and said, we're going to go ahead and do it.
And so I remember that first one, just going there and being shocked at how many people showed up.
Yeah.
Like I go to Brotherwell Brewing often because I'm chummy with those guys and it's close to where I live. But even still, whenever I walk into Brotherwell, I expect it to be me and a couple friends that I already know. Mm-hmm. And more frequently I show up and there's not a single person that I know in there. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the Seaside Market. I showed up assuming I was going to know every single vendor and know everyone who's involved. And I get there and realize these are all totally new people to me. And I'm someone who fancies myself, at least, yeah. as involved in this community. And
definitely.
It is just such a banner for Waco, and it shows how truly diverse and how many people want to engage in a culture like this.
And we really try to implement that, just kind of like when we were looking for vendors, you know, we would try to reach out to just people we didn't really know, or just we would put it out and people would come to us, just being the fact that it was something new. I remember I would be on the Instagram, on the page, and I would just go through all the local Waco tags. You just go to that Waco hashtag or location Waco, and I would just go through it. And then I would just scroll through it, and if I saw something interesting, neat or something, I would, you know, contact them. And it's like, hey, you know, we have this thing. So we just really try to go through different channels to basically bring out people that weren't typically the same people you would see all the time.
You are hearing from Eric Linares. Eric is an entrepreneur and one of the founders of Eastside Market. This Sunday, the 20th of December, is the final Eastside Market for the year. Mm-hmm. It happens at Brotherwell Brewing on the east side on Bridge Street, very close to where Michael Carpenter and the City Center Waco folks have submitted that request for proposal offer. One cool thing about Eastside is that I see places there that I would never think existed in Waco. It's not just vintage places. They'll have like a tarot card reader, mm-hmm. and there's people doing spray paint and calligraphy. Mm-hmm. What are some of the different businesses or vendors that people who are attending Eastside Market might run into this upcoming Sunday?
Yes, definitely. So we, like you said, we have such a variety of vendors. One of the big mainstays, of course, is the vintage kind of clothing. It's become this very big part of the market. So we'll have a lot of new kind of vintage vendors out there. There's one called Sloppy Seconds Vintage. There's another one that's another retro. Some of the old school ones are, of course, Retro Rewind and Powerhouse Vintage and Living Dead Threads. And so we love having kind of this community and this family of vendors that have always wanted to come out every market. So I feel like, you know, like Powerhouse has been there at every single market since its inception. But at the same time, we all have like artist collectives. We have an artist collective that comes out and then bring out all their prints. We have new people that are basically creating, you know, mixed media art. We have some people that are basically making like woodworking and like Rockin' Tea. They make wood toys for kids and like all kinds of little puzzle pieces and whatnot. And then apart from that, we also have like a lot of kind of consumable things, so like breads, and we have these people that are making their own spices here in Waco. We have individuals that are making like herbal type things. So it's just this crazy variety of vendors that you typically wouldn't think that, you know, you have those around, but if you create a space, you know, most of the times people are doing their stuff on their own. They just want to come out and showcase it to the greater community.
You've gotten real involved in downtown, obviously, but you stay in Bellmead. That's where your house is. Mm-hmm. You've made a beautiful little home for yourself in Bellmead.
Thank you.
And I love that drive where you're on 84, you're leaving Bellmead, coming towards downtown Waco. Mm-hmm. And you get a beautiful view of the Alico building. And mm-hmm. you can tell that strip there has the bones to be, it's dominated by cars right now, but it has the bones to be a truly like walkable, nice shopping area.
Definitely.
But what's Bellmead like? That's probably a place that a lot of Wacoans don't think, if I'm going to go get dinner, I'm going to go to Bellmead. Yeah. But I know there are some places in Bellmead that you stand for.
Oh, yeah.
What's the skinny on Bellmead?
Man, it's one of those things, you know, every time you have like a city and then another little city and you always get like a bad rap and then people just kind of like pass it off as that. But there's such a cool kind of like amount of real good businesses out there. One of my favorite, of course, is Molly's. So one of my best buds, he works over there at Molly's, and the family that runs it is amazing. And they have some of the best like warm salsa.
Heard about pancakes at Molly's.
Yeah, So my buddy there, Josh, it's kind of on the secret menu, but if you order some pancakes, he'll go back there and make you probably the best pancakes in Waco. He'll throw all the love and care into it, and it's amazing. And so you have places like that. You have places like the Taqueria Number 9 or one of the ones over there. And I really just found that I would always go to it. But my buddy, he said, next time go get the tortilla soup. Their tortilla soup is insane over there. It's the one over there by the Starbucks. And then, of course, you have Jim's Chicken over there, too, that is just always holding it down with Jim's Chicken. And basically, there's just such a, you know, there's a lot of food options and a lot of cool spaces out there. It's not really that far from where it's like, you know, I live right basically down the street from all this stuff. And I'll get on West Waco Drive in like a minute and a half. I'm already past the bridge and onto Waco side.
If you live in downtown Waco, it's closer for you to go to Bellmead than it is to go to any of the stuff that's on Valley Mills.
Yeah, basically. And especially back when Elm Avenue was basically open, I could just get on that street and just go straight through Elm and get into downtown in less than 5 minutes. Now, of course, it takes me about 17 minutes with the traffic going on 35. It seems like just a wall that they put up. But hopefully, my hope is that once everything kind of opens up, that momentum will just start going all the way down West Waco Drive, all the way through Elm Avenue, and then that Bellmead Drive will start, you know, getting a lot of love as well.
A few months ago, I was interviewed for the District 4 City Council position, mm-hmm. and was not awarded it. They gave it to Darius Ewing, mm-hmm. And now Kelly Palmer is the city council person for District 4. But I did a lot of research about the district specifically for this interview. And one of the things that came about when I was looking at the demographic data is that District 4, it's 33% Hispanic. Mm. Like there is and it's actually pretty equally split between Black, mm-hmm. Latino, and white. Mm-hmm. And it was an eye-opener to me to realize how segregated my own life is, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of my friends, and thankfully now you've become part of that group.
Appreciate it.
But there's a huge Latino culture in Waco, and
for sure.
We all know it's up there on the 25th corridor, mm-hmm. and I've gone and bought hats and go get tacos and roast chicken. But what are some of the other Latino businesses that are in Waco that in general the population should know about or should support? Like anyone you think is doing a particularly good job that needs some love?
Yeah. I mean, of course, the cool thing about Waco is that there's kind of a dual Hispanic population. You have the typical South Waco kind of Hispanic population that has always been here. And then that of course, is in that 18th Street and all that southern type area over there by, you know, if you go over there to Mexicano Taqueria right next to George's, they have some insane Al Pastor tacos. And then, of course, Jimena's Bakery is probably the best bakery around. And they have this lady outside that makes some awesome corn. But then the 25th Street corridor is more of a kind of like a new influx of Hispanic people. So more a different kind of vibe. And so over there, you know, of course, you have Rufy's that is always, you know, rocking and rolling with some of the best, I think the best breakfast tacos and the best salsas that you can find out
My
here.
Favorite breakfast in Waco
essentially,
is at Rufy's.
Yeah. And then Eduardo just opened up Lalo's over there in that area. So Lalo's is just the base, you know, a brand new coffee shop in that area and near the Colcord.
This is 15th and Colcord at a center that has basically been incrementally developed by Jimmy Doral, John Calloway, mm-hmm. and the Mission Waco folks. That's where Mission Waco is centered. And they, bit by bit, piece by piece, have acquired buildings in the mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. They finish them out, and they rent them out to tenants who will provide services. This is, of course, where Jubilee Market is, mm-hmm. where I went grocery shopping yesterday. But yeah, now they've brought in Lalo's and mm-hmm. the Helados.
Yeah. So you know, Eduardo's done this crazy job of basically taking over that entire section with all this cultural kind of, you know, love. And so you have that, and then you go further up, you have another Giribaldi restaurant. They have another really good stuff down there. So it's really cool. It's just kind of like people really want to go and find these kind of hole-in-the-wall spaces, and it's such a cool thing to do. You know, you just kind of walk in and get greeted by food and culture that you didn't even know existed, like because you just drive past it every day. But I invite everybody to just keep an eye open always as they're driving by. You know, don't just go on Google and type in what's food is next to me, because a lot of these places might not have a crazy, you know, good social presence. So sometimes you just have to take that, you know, the old school thing of just going in there and seeing what's new.
You miss a lot of gems if you only look on Yelp.
Basically, yeah. Hard yes.
2020 has largely been a dumpster fire.
Yes.
But there have been some beautiful things that have come out of it, one of which is the community's acceptance of this Eastside market. I just want to affirm you and what you and your partners are doing over there.
Thank you.
Incredible. And it is such an awesome way to see a unified Waco, even only for a few hours on a Sunday afternoon. But 2021, I think we're all chomping at the bit. Wish we could blink and it would be here. But what's on the horizon for you in 2021? What are you particularly looking forward to?
Man, it's the thing with me, it's always kind of like I'm always just even looking at the next month and seeing what new things I can create, and even just the next month. But 2021, of course, you know, we want the Eastside market to of course, grow and create itself and become even more of a cool representative place of all the cultures and communities already existing in Waco. We want to see that grow, especially in that Eastside, basically. At the same time, you know, the food, you know, that I'm creating as well, I want that. I've been waiting for this whole kind of year to go by to really just get out there again and just have more of a fertile ground to create a new food business, because it's, you know, it's a very difficult thing to do with the overhead and the environment we're in this year. So we're just kind of waiting for that next year and a clean slate to just push through it. Wanting to get more involved in art things, you know, me and a couple buddies, we're trying to create this more of an art kind of collective, more of an emerging art thing, because Waco, of course, has its kind of like normal art, basically, institutions, but we want to really focus on a lot of emerging artists, small artists and things like that, and just kind of create an outdoor gallery space for them.
Wow.
You know, kind of a free thing for that. But
so there's a real culture of underground art that maybe isn't being shown at Cultivate or the Art Center of Waco.
Yeah. These are all individuals who are just kind of like not, you know, they create art for the sake of creating art, essentially, and it's kind of an escape. And they might have day-to-day jobs. They don't have the real time to dedicate too much into marketing their art or creating themselves as that kind of the typical artist you would think of. But their art is art nonetheless, and it deserves to be seen and cherished and basically shown. So I have a lot of, like, you know, photography friends that create art, and it just kind of like lives in their area. But I really want to create a space and, you know, just another community space to allow that to be shown, essentially.
Be sure to go by Brotherwell Brewing this Sunday afternoon to check out the last Eastside Market. Mm-hmm. And I also want to suggest following Eric on Instagram. His handle is Venturing Local, and it is such a beautiful snapshot of life in downtown. You've gotten really good about using the Reels function on Instagram, and he's always posting these little videos of walking down the street, going to different bakeries. And I have come to appreciate downtown Waco more because of my relationship with you and because of following you on Instagram. So even if you don't get to meet Eric in person, check him out on Instagram, Venturing Local, and of course, check out Eastside Market. Eric Linares is an entrepreneur here in Waco. Thank you so much for coming and sharing your story.
Of course, man. This is an awesome opportunity, and we just want to see this whole city grow. You know, we can only do it together.
Thanks again to Eric Linares, Michael Carpenter of City Center Waco, and you for tuning in to another episode of Downtown Depot. I'll be back on Waco Public Radio on New Year's Day with my brother from another mother, Waco Mayor Dylan Meek, who's a dear friend unrelated to me, and he's going to cast his vision for a safe and prosperous 2021. I'm Austin Meek with Waco Business News, and you've been listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.